It's here, the Omaha Steaks Cyber Sale. And there's no better time to score big savings on unforgettable gifts. USDA certified tender steaks, beefy burgers, premium air-chilled chicken, and so much more. There's something for everyone on your list. Don't wait. Shop now to save 50% site-wide and an extra 20% off select packages at omahasteaks.com. Plus, get an extra $35 off with code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout. Hurry, sale ends December 2nd. Terms apply. See site for details.
Off the Ball Daily.
A home for your favourite podcasts from Off the Ball.
For Jake Paul, it's like, this is a Jackass stunt almost that he's training for and he's certainly preparing for, but it's still a Jackass stunt that he's getting over $50 or $60 million for.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now. Welcome along to Off the Ball Saturday here on News Talk. Shane Hannan in for John Duggan with you until 5 p.m. this evening. Loads to come between now and then. Of course, we're going to feel one way or the other about the Autumn International Series come, what, 7:30 or so this evening. 5:40 p.m. is the kickoff time at Lansdowne Road for Ireland versus the world champion Springboks in the final game for Andy Farrell's side. We are going to preview that match across the afternoon today, including a panel from around 1:30 or just after on the show today. Shane Byrne, of course, former Leinster, Ireland and Lions star, and the rugby analyst Brent Pope, both going to join me in studio to look ahead to Ireland versus South Africa. We will have Football Saturday. Johnny Ward, Owen Doyle and Graeme Gartland in studio between 3 o'clock and 5 o'clock, the usual time every Saturday here for Football Saturday. And of course, we're going to talk more about a certain three goals from Troy Parrott last weekend. We're not finished talking about it just yet, although the Premier League has got back underway after the international break. Currently, 33 minutes on the watch at Turf Moor. Burnley 0, Chelsea 0 in the early kickoff in the Premier League. We'll keep you up to speed on all of the day's action. And of course, talk a couple of other bits and bobs besides as well. Hemer Halgrimsson has been speaking about the hospitality afforded to away teams at the Aviva Stadium. And of course, if we are to beat Czechia in the playoff semi-final come March, we will have either Denmark or North Macedonia at home in a playoff final to reach the World Cup final. So he wants a more hostile atmosphere. He wants the away fans put up in a top tier away from the pitch and out of sight, out of mind and all that. Delighted to say we have Cameron Hill in studio for the news round. Good afternoon, Cameron.
Shane, good afternoon. I mean, it's not necessarily difficult to make fans feel uncomfortable at the Aviva, so you shouldn't really have much of a problem, Hemer Halgrimsson, when it comes around to March.
Yeah, I think he has a point, Hemer Halgrimsson. I don't know how maybe the FAI or any of us haven't thought of it before. I know, obviously, going back to the ugly scenes in the 90s when the England fans were pelting things and chairs and all sorts down on the Irish fans below, there's probably good reason why we haven't put away fans on an upper tier. There's no reason why you can't do it for certain games, and it seems to be a used thing. Like, obviously the Irish fans in Budapest were right up in the heavens, and that's where you want the away fans, isn't it?
Yeah, like, usually, am I right in thinking it's down in that sort of lower lip where the schoolboys sit in rugby matches that the away fans are put, which I feel is the absolute worst place to put them, because you're right behind a goal, first off, like right on top of the goal, and also it's the sort of, the fact that there's less seats there and that they're all kind of packed into that small area must create a great atmosphere for them. So you want them to maybe put them, like, you know the gantries above the horrible PA that's at the Aviva, just line them up there, and God, they'll be gone after 10 minutes. They won't be able to put up with it. They'll have had 9 renditions of Sweet Caroline.
That's true. As we'll hear at the Aviva later on, no doubt, a few renditions of Sweet Caroline. I was airing my grievances about that on Off the Ball last night with Owen. It's, I don't know. And Hemer Halgrimsson made the point, you know, that playoff final, should we get there against Denmark or North Macedonia, could go to penalties. You know, it's extra time or penalties. Mm. And imagine you have a penalty shootout to reach the World Cup.
And it's down the wrong goal.
It's a 50-50 chance it would be.
Yeah.
You know, so that would be a clear example of, well, we could have made this a bit easier on ourselves. And it's just the marginal gains. You know, you never know. You could win a penalty shootout 9-8 in sudden death, and it could come down to just a minor distraction from the away fans behind the goal. Who knows? It seems like a minor thing to be talking about, but I think Hemer Halgrimsson has brought up a point, and we have a bit of time between now and March to fix it. Of course, it's not football. It's going to be rugby at Lansdowne later on. Cameron, I'm driving into the office this morning and the streets of Dublin are littered with Springboks and their lovely jerseys and draped in flags. A noticeably sizable amount of them, I would say.
Yeah. As Jerry Thornley said a couple of weeks ago at this stage on the evening show, Like, I've never come across a more confident or assured of themselves group of players in this Springboks team. And I think that extends to their fans. We work with a couple of South Africans, both in off the ball and beyond. Mm. And the talk this week has been, oh yeah, you know, we're not, they were yarrowing away in a sort of like, they share the same colours, and Kerry football fans tend to do the exact same thing. Where it's, ah, oh, no, I don't know if we've a chance this weekend, you know, Sam Prendergast is just so good that they are absolutely, that's not what they're thinking at all. They feel they're coming here to do a number. The last world left to conquer for Erasmus is the Aviva. So read the piece in the Times today, the headline. Mm. So, you know, they're checking off the list. They're on this bizarre revenge mission against teams they've already beaten this November and this year. And I think today is no different. It's going to be an absolutely brilliant test, but they've got an agenda, let's say.
Mm. Just to update you, Neto was up in the scoring for Chelsea with a header at the back post, lofted cross in, 38 minutes on the watch at Turf Moor. Burnley nailed Chelsea 1 in the Premier League's early game. Yeah, like the November series, the Autumn International series, the Quilter Autumn International series, whatever you want to call it, Cameron, like how we feel about it is going to be decided on later today. Like, I've chatted to different people about this, and I'm kind of the view, this might sound stupid, but if we are to beat the world champion Springboks today, the hype train is really going to leave the station. Mm. Like, obviously, you want to win the series, you want to beat the South Africans when you get the chance, especially at home. But there is the element of if we win this game today, heading into the Six Nations, the hype train will. Does that matter that the hype train will reach fever pitch, or do we want the hype train to be fever pitch? Maybe we do.
No, you want the hype train to be somewhere else right now. You want England to be on the hype train. You want France to be on the hype train and really going, ah, you know, 2027 World Cup, we're coming for you. And Ireland quietly going about their business in the lead up to 2027. But it's such a big test of these players. We've talked to death about how much of a challenge and what it's going to mean for Sam Prendergast to be in the 10 jersey against the best opposition he could possibly face at international level, and what that's going to bring out of him and really show where he's at and where he needs to develop. But you look at a couple of other players, like Ryan Baird's never started a game against South Africa.
Yeah.
I think he's played them a few times. He certainly was involved in that game at the World Cup, that famous 13-8 win that we won on the way to winning the World Cup in 2023, of course. That was how that happened for Ireland, if I remember correctly. But this is a huge game for him, and he's had a great November, but this is the big test. You know, you've done all the hard work now, but this is the one where you really prove your mettle. And we know that sometimes he might have lapses of concentrations in big games and whatever about any other international game. You can't switch off against the Springboks. They will just go after you all day. It's a big day for Mac Hansen, fullback.
Yeah,
I know we were giving him his flowers, deservedly so, after the Australia game. And that's an all-action like back three now between him, James Lowe, and Tommy O'Brien. And we're very excited about the potential for that. But I don't think anyone will disagree that he wasn't exactly challenged on the defensive front last weekend, because Max Jorgensen had an absolute mare, and there wasn't enough back three play all round from the Wallabies to really tested him in the open field. And you're going up against Damian Willemse, Cheslin Colby and Kanan Moody, who, you know,
it's decent.
Put a challenge in front of them, they'll take it. So it's a massive game, 1-15. I'd like the forwards just have to show up. Really, the first 10 minutes and how they respond in the first 10 minutes will really dictate how this game goes. Because the very experienced front row with Andrew Porter, Dan Sheehan and Ty Furlong, you'd wonder if James Ryan and Gary Keegan have been working on sports psychology this week. Just picture all of them as Will Skelton and just attack them. But there's obviously a plan with Crowley. I'd say Crowley comes on in maybe the 55th minute if the game is going well, and he's the man to kind of dig something out of an arm wrestle and get them over the line. So there's obvious strategy to how they've gone, even if the bench from a forwards point of view with the 5-3 and no really recognised second row option might leave people with a bit of cause for concern. But I don't know. I think it's a huge, huge challenge. I think no one denies that. And that's what everyone's been saying this week.
Yeah. The home advantage is obviously crucial. And even Razzy Erasmus has spoken about that he's never won as a coach at the Aviva Stadium, even going back to his Munster days. I think he referenced a couple of the big games he had in Lansdowne Road that didn't go his way. And look, that could... Was it 2012, maybe the last time the Springboks have won in Dublin? So that could have a say. And also South African discussion around their discipline or indiscipline. Before the game, their assistant coach at the start of the week saying that they've been treated unfairly. Yeah. They've had red card incidents, obviously, against France and Italy, and a red card today for South Africa would really change the feeling around the game, maybe. Like, you kind of want this game to be 15-on-15 for the duration, don't you? Just to really see where both teams are at.
Yeah. Yeah, I think for rugby's point of view, everyone's been looking forward to this game. Like, you talk to everybody and it's been the big game of the weekend and of the really the window. I know France, South Africa was certainly an attractive prospect, and then South Africa went down to 14 men charitably and still managed to win. But yeah, you want them to be fully tested. I was just thinking when you're saying there about the loss of the Aviva, you know how Arsenal have a silhouette, a blackened silhouette of the Premier League trophy at their training ground. Do South Africa have an Aviva? Just the Aviva Stadium, the bowl.
Silhouette of it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Down in wherever they train back home. And just as like, that's your target, boys.
Yeah. But it's funny in rugby, like they say, oh, they haven't won here. They've only won here, what, three times in 2 decades. But then you look back at all the fixtures and, you know, even since 2012, have they maybe played only 3 times or so in Dublin? Mm-hmm. So it sounds like this terrible run South Africa have had, but on paper, it's actually not, it's not that bad. They've lost a few games.
No, but they've always been class games.
Yeah.
The 2017 game has been talked about quite a bit because it's such a sliding doors moment for South Africa and world rugby. But the moment, I remember going into that game, it was Bundiaki's first test, I'm pretty sure. And everyone was talking about, should this guy be playing for Ireland? You know, New Zealander coming in, a jobber. Is there not an Irish-born centre who might be deserving? And what better way to lay down a marker in that game than make a hit on Koné Oosthuizen, the big South African tight head, with Johnny Sexton, and put him out of the game. Like, it was such a physical marker set down in the gauntlet for the day. We had no idea what was to come, obviously, from the scoreline, but this just brings out the best in the Irish team. It was the best performance at the 2023 World Cup that Ireland put in, hands down. So there's something about this rivalry. You think of, like, going to South Africa last year for that tour, and Ireland off the back, like 13 months on the road, basically playing rugby, and they still managed to win a test with that Kieran Frawley drop goal
and brilliant.
Go really close in the first test. There's just something about this game that really brings it out of the Irish. It's the perfect way to end a November where maybe a lot of questions have been asked.
Yeah, really looking forward to this one. By the way, you can give the sports fan in your life a gift. They'll actually use a full year of Off the Ball. This Black Friday, you can get a one-year OTB subscription for just $69.99, down from $99.99. Exclusive podcasts, ad-free listening, and early event access, all wrapped up in one perfect gift. Just go to offtheball.com/Black Friday. Offer ends on the 1st of December this year. The WhatsApp number, by the way, if you want to get in touch, OTB, WhatsApp number is 087-9180-180. You'll also get us on 087-1400-106.
Lowe's early Black Friday deals are going fast. Don't miss up to 50% off select major appliances. Plus, up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. And with Christmas around the corner, you're going to need more string lights, right? Save $4 on GE LED 100-count string lights, now just $5.98. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. Select locations only while supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
It's here, the Omaha Steaks Cyber Sale. We're talking 50% off site-wide and an extra 20% off select packages. There's no better time to shop for everyone on your list. And when you shop omahasteaks.com today, you'll get an additional $35 off with code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout. With Omaha Steaks, you can slay your gift list and send a perfect assortment that everyone will love. USDA certified tender steaks, beefy burgers, premium air chilled chicken, decadent desserts, and so much more. There's something for everyone on your list. And every bite is backed by their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Don't wait. Shop the Cyber Sale now at omahasteaks.com to save 50% site-wide and an extra 20% off select packages. Plus, get an extra $35 off with code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, code HOLIDAYGIFT. Hurry, sale ends December 2nd. Terms apply. See site for details.
Mark in Dundrum says, in regards to the playoff final that we could have in Dublin if we are to beat Czechia, stop talking about a match that might never happen. No, never assume. This is Ireland, the most inconsistent team in world football. just trying to enjoy it.
Mark
and Dundrum.
Did you not hear we're the greatest nation to have ever played football? Finisaz has 2 goals for Southampton today.
Wow.
And Ryan Manning's out of the third. They're 5-0 up in the first half against Charlton. So, you know,
brilliant.
It's all coming up Millhouse.
They're on a high. Absolutely. We'll keep an eye on AZ Alkmaar across the weekend, of course, as well, and see what Troy Parra can do. We are starting the news round off, I guess, with the rugby, Cameron.
Yeah, if you hadn't heard, Ireland round off their Autumn Nations series with the visit of world champions South Africa to the Aviva Stadium this evening. As Shane alluded to, the Springboks haven't won in Dublin since 2012, but come to town off the back of six successive wins at test level, including that win in Paris a fortnight ago. Sam Prendergast is given the nod at out half from an Ireland perspective today, while Gary Ringrose and Josh van der Vlier also returned this week after overcoming respective hamstring issues. And Ireland head coach Andy Farrell feels it's important for his side to produce a statement performance tonight.
Well, it always is. But no more so the expectation that we put on ourselves to make sure that we use an opportunity in the right manner. Of course, we'll learn no matter what. But, we're trying to prove to ourselves the whole time that we're taking steps forward, and this will be the litmus test, wouldn't it, for where we are. Certainly that's going to concentrate the mind over the next couple of months leading into the Six Nations.
Andy, further to Derek's question about the two football results that they achieved last Thursday week here and last Sunday in Hungary, that's got to be a source of inspiration, hasn't it? A feel good factor.
100%. And everyone feels it, don't they? You know, everyone feels that. And I don't know whether it had an impact in regards to the atmosphere against Australia. I'm sure it did a little bit. I thought the IRFU did a fantastic job in regards to the start of the game. The atmosphere was good from the get-go, and obviously players do respond to that, and it ended up in the scoreline that it ended up. So I suppose if that's a little taster, this is the main event coming on Saturday, I would have thought.
Yeah.
Funny. A litmus test, he said.
A litmus test. Yeah, famous. Yeah. 20-6, Lansdowne Road.
Funny kickoff time, I suppose, yeah, but it's for television, these kickoff times as well. And I'm just going to repeat myself, Cameron, right? If the PA announcer is listening, and I've said this yesterday on the show.
Yeah, I'm sure he's listening again today.
Once
after
more.
Listening to OTB Breakfast.
Yeah, can we during breaks of play for scrums or whatever else not play Sweet Caroline? And as I've said, I love Neil Diamond. I've seen Neil Diamond in concert, love all of his songs, including Sweet Caroline.
Yeah.
Don't give me the option of singing it, because I associate Sweet Caroline with English rugby, English football, Tyson Fury.
Mm.
And we should be playing
the crap pit of a wedding.
Exactly,
starting to die off.
100%. Yeah. So either play it, and I know they do, maybe some Irish songs, Throw on Fields of Athenry or whatever to get the lads G'd up. Or here's a mad one: don't play any music in the breaks for
what?
And let the atmosphere
Shame.
Just. I know, let the atmosphere just live
it's
naturally.
Blue.
So yeah.
What other Neil Diamond song would you play? Girl, You'll Be a Woman Soon.
Yeah, you know, if a South African misses a kick, maybe throw on Solitary Man.
Yes. Yeah,
I don't know when Forever in Blue Jeans would fit, or I Am, I Said, Cracklin' Rosie. There are a lot of songs for different occasions that you could probably use for Neil Diamond. He has one for everything. America, another great song. Like there's so many, Cameron.
You want my Culture War, my Hill to Die On?
Go for it.
No more anthem singers, please.
Okay.
Just do the music and let the crowd do it.
Yeah.
I just think it kills it a bit.
Mm.
Like, they're obviously incredibly talented people. Friend of the show, Barry Murphy, has done it before. He did the Chicago game, and great. And I know it's a massive, massive honour.
Mm.
I just don't think it works.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's very American.
It is quite American. Yeah. Yeah. It's just missing the flyover.
Yeah.
But yeah, I see what you mean. Let the atmosphere grow naturally.
Mm.
And you saw with the Aviva for the Ireland Portugal game how the atmosphere was just brilliant. And maybe the lack of Sweet Caroline there helped, but. Yeah, it's just something I noticed. There's other rugby as well this afternoon, Cameron, to speak of.
Yeah, Wales with the toughest of tasks. You have to say they face New Zealand in Cardiff from 3:10 today. Well, at 8:10, Joe Schmidt's reign as Australia head coach concludes with a test against France in Paris.
Okay, some football as well. We've obviously the first game of the afternoon. I think it's just hit halftime. Burnley 0, Chelsea 1 with that Neto goal at the break. Josh Cullen, by the way, is in the middle of that. Midfield for Burnley, and Cole Palmer, people might have seen this yesterday, will be absent for another week. He fractured his toe when he stubbed it on a door on Wednesday night.
Easily done, Shane.
Easily done. So he was already out for 2 months with a groin injury, and he was due to come back to first team training this week, but will be out for slightly longer. It's on the small toe on his favoured left foot. And as Enzo Maresca, his Chelsea manager, said, he's probably not available for today, obviously, for sure. Barcelona for sure, or Arsenal for sure. Unfortunately, he had an accident at home where he hit his toe. It is nothing important, but he won't be back in the next week. I wake up many times during the night. I hit my head, my legs, my everything, so it can happen.
Right.
Enzo Maresca seems to have a serious time of it trying to get to the bathroom.
Like a you problem, Enzo. What the hell's going on?
He hits everything. But you can just imagine that's a pretty sore injury.
Yeah.
It must be so frustrating because it's such a minor injury.
Yeah.
It feels like such a minor injury, but you couldn't play with it.
You're not going to get any whip and dip on the ball if your baby toe is sore.
Exactly.
Can't do that.
No, definitely not. So that's Burnley 0, Chelsea 1 in the afternoon game. And there's other football in the Premier League and beyond this afternoon, Cameron.
Yes, indeed. 5 games kicking off at 3 o'clock, Shane. Keith Andrews will welcome Caoimhín Kelleher and Nathan Collins back to his Brentford team for a trip to Brighton. The ex-Ireland assistant coach revealed how celebrating Troy Parrott's winner in Budapest on Sunday nearly ruled him out of taking to the touchline for today's game.
Oh, well, I'm delighted first and foremost to see the team get through a tricky win now and the manner of the results, and it was brilliant for the country. I nearly pulled my hamstring jumping off the sofa when Troy scored that goal. But it's great for them too. Obviously, I've slightly vested interest in Caoimhín and Nathan, and to see them come back and see the scenes of what they achieved as big players, obviously for us and for the country. It was a special week for them that I know they really enjoyed.
Nottingham Forest can climb out of the bottom three if they win at an out of sorts Liverpool today. Reds fullback Andy Robertson revealed that he couldn't get Diogo Jota out of his head before Scotland's win over Denmark on Tuesday, which sealed their spot at next summer's World Cup. The former Portugal forward died along with his brother in a car crash this summer, and manager Arne Slot became quite emotional when reflecting on Jota during the pre-match press conference yesterday.
I saw the interview as well live, and I know that it is an issue for us, which is, I think, completely normal. But then at these moments of time, I always think about how must it feel for his wife and his children, because that's so much harder for them than it is for us. But that we miss the player and the person, that is completely clear. Maybe it tells you even more. Now we play Nottingham Forest. Last season we were 1-0 down at Forest. It only took him 1 minute to score the equaliser. So now I'm talking about a player that we miss for sure, because this time we haven't managed to come back as many times as last season after being 1-0 down or a goal down. And he definitely played his part in that last season. But that we also miss him as a person, that be completely clear. But again, his wife and children will miss him so much more. It's impossible to measure what it does to the players and then to measure what it does to our results. So the last thing I would do is to use it as an excuse, because I don't know. What I do know is that we miss the player. That's 100% sure. And we also miss the person, but I cannot measure what that has an impact on our performances, let alone on our results. So that's impossible for me to say, and we will never use it as an excuse, because that doesn't feel right.
Yeah, it's a really, really difficult one, Cameron, isn't it? Because naturally you can completely understand how Liverpool's results haven't been what you'd expect them to be this season after what they've gone through. They've lost a teammate and a friend and someone who was clearly so popular in the Liverpool dressing room in Diogo Jota, and his brother, of course, as well. It's hard to know how any team would be okay after that, and it's going to take a season and then some, you'd imagine, for them to get back to any sort of sense of normality in that dressing room. And this is it's a really tough talking point to discuss. Maybe we'll get to it in Football Saturday as well. But I saw someone from the Anfield Rap kind of making the point during the week, and it's maybe an awkward one to say, but how the fans, chanting his name is lovely. And yet it's the 20th minute, maybe, because that was a shirt number. They often do the song, and it kind of, not that it interrupts the flow of the match, but it certainly is something that the players on the pitch will have noticed. And I saw someone from the Anfield Rap making the point during the week that almost encouraging fans to not do this as much, that it's so tough for these players to move on. They're going through such forms of grief And essentially in their workplace every week, they're being reminded of this in the middle of the match. Not that it's impacting results, but it's certainly something that's going to have impact on them as human beings. And to hear it every week must be so, so difficult. It's a really awkward one because you want fans who are there. Maybe there's fans there one time a season who want to pay their tributes to Diogo Jota.
Of course.
And yet the players are there every week and they're having to go through this, I guess, weekly.
Well, that's it. Like Andy Robertson, one of the biggest games he could ever play for Scotland, like gets into the World Cup for the first time since 1998. And the one thing on his mind is Diogo Jota. Like, it's bizarre to think that in an alternate universe, Diogo Jota would have been lining out at the Aviva Thursday a week ago.
Yeah, good point. Yeah.
You know, like that's how raw this is. And I don't think for Caoimhín Kelleher it's any harm that he's at Brentford now and maybe not at Anfield, because that would have been incredibly difficult. He was very close to Diogo Jota as well, I believe. So it would have been very hard for him to live with that pain and that grief. And as Arne Slot alludes to, like, there's no way of measuring just how much of an effect this has all had in a club that is very familiar with tragedy. I mean, I don't know if you I've seen the Kenny Dalglish.
No, not yet.
The Paddy doc. Yeah, I really want to see it too. But he did an interview with the Sunday Times and talking about how Hillsborough, the effect that Hillsborough had on his mental health and his feelings in being Liverpool manager, which ultimately leads to him leaving in 1991 very suddenly. And you think of the things that Arne Slot has had to go through since he came to Liverpool, not just the title win last year, but the Jota tragedy overshadows another tragedy during their celebrations when someone plows into a group of Liverpool supporters in the city centre. Like that's got a weigh on the mind as well. When you put those two things together and you think of Dalglish and how much of a character he was. Remember when we were talking about when Klopp said he was leaving and we were talking about just how much he symbolises Liverpool, and that's what that kind of city needs as a Liverpool manager. What your role is as Liverpool manager is a unofficial mayor of the city.
Yeah.
You become the embodiment of it. You are a character intrinsically linked with Liverpool. And Dalglish had it, Klopp had it, and we're still working out whether Arne Slot is going to have that. We're in the middle of this right now, where this tragedy is still hanging over things, where the Premier League triumph is part of his legacy, but this season will be part of his legacy too, and the next season will, and the next season, and so on and so on. So regardless of how the team is doing, and the 5 defeats in the league this year, there's no getting around that. It's been a struggle. Like Salah, it looks like he's probably not really as useful a part of this team as he once was. Even with this bad run of form, it would be incredibly callous to even sack Arne Slot at the end of the season.
Yeah.
Because you can't account for what they're going through. It's so different and so raw and so real. It's not a player who used to play for them. He was coming back to pre-season training all going well. And that's just been violently taken from them. So it's a massive, massive year for him, regardless of what happens on the pitch. He could write himself into Liverpool lore as one of those symbolic figures who got them to the heights of a Premier League title, but also was their steward during this incredibly troubling and upsetting moment.
Yeah, and as Arne Slot says, he doesn't want to use it as an excuse, but it is a very legitimate one for any poor results Liverpool have this season, for sure. There's other football as well in the Premier League this afternoon, Cameron.
Yeah, the Rob Edwards era begins at Wolves when they host Crystal Palace. That's also underway at 3. Elsewhere, high-flying Sunderland go to Fulham. West Ham could earn their third league win in a row. They face Bournemouth at the Vitality Stadium. While this evening, Manchester City could go to within a point of leaders Arsenal. They go to St James's Park for a meeting with Newcastle United from 5:30. Some Gaelic games to tell you about as well today, Shane. The first this weekend, Ulster Club Senior Football semi-finals, Darnford Decision from 4:30, when last year's beaten finalists Kilcoo take on Fermanagh champions Erin Gales at the Athletic Grounds from 4:30. As I said, the Munster Senior Camogie final is underway. That sees Waterford's De La Salle taking on first-time finalists St Finbar's of Cork. The latest score from that game is De La Salle lead by 1-7 to Finbar's 2-3 with around half an hour gone on that one.
Okay, bit of golf and cricket and racing to finish up, Cameron.
Well, Seamus Power bidding to close in on the top three of the on day three of the RSM Classic in Georgia later. He needs to be in top three to secure his PGA Tour card for next season, of course. And the Waterford golfer shot 66 yesterday to sit on 10 under par. That's 6 shots off the current lead held by Andrew Novak. In cricket, the Ireland men's cricketers require another 333 runs from their remaining 4 wickets to beat Bangladesh in their second test in Mirpur. They got 176 runs in their second innings at stumps on day 4. Australia have taken a 1-0 lead in the Ashes, beating England by 8 wickets in the first test in Perth today. Travis Head hit the second fastest Ashes century ever from 69 balls to help his team to victory. And the Grade 1 Morgiana Hurdle is the feature race in today's action at Punchestown Shane. That goes to post at 2:10. The 8 race card there already underway.
Stephen Kitsoff on Off the Ball Breakfast yesterday with myself and Cullum predicted a 12-point win for the Springboks. Would you go along with that? I think the bookmakers have maybe 7 points as the gap between South Africa and Ireland. A victory for the away team. How do you see it going? I won't ask for a prediction, but how do you see the game going?
I think Ireland will be right in it. If the four, we'll know 10 minutes in how this is going to go. If South Africa are going to beat them at the gate, and if they really go after Sam Prendergast and he doesn't have the forwards cover, I think it's going to be real tight. I think South Africa might just edge it today. I just have a feeling that they're on the war path right now. It's going to be very hard to stop them, which is no bad thing from an Ireland perspective. It'd be terrible if we thought we were peaking already. But I think they're just going to edge it today. Prove me wrong, Ireland. Prove me wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Set up for a brilliant one. A 5:40 p.m. kickoff at the Aviva Stadium for that one. Ireland versus South Africa. Cameron Hill, thank you very much for now for the news round.
Off the Ball Daily.
A home for your favourite podcasts from Off the Ball.
For Jake Paul, it's like, this is a jackass stunt almost that he's training for, and he's certainly preparing for, but it's still a jackass stunt that he's getting over $50 or $60 million for.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.